Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
All over the news right now.
Everywhere.
Is the problem in Venezuela.
It's a huge deal.
And the problem in Venezuela actually has been going on for quite a while, but it hit a new point this week when... What was it that happened? There was an election.
Yep.
And the opposition group that didn't win told their people to take it to the streets.
They did. Yes.
And when we talk about taking it to the streets here in the U.S., we're talking about hashtag resist or whatever.
Yes.
We're not protests. Like, we might be out blocking some traffic, but we're not out there doing what's going on in Venezuela. It got violent in a hurry.
Very quickly. Yes.
And what we saw from the U.S. State Department, 3 days ago, at the time of the recording this, you may hear this a week after it. 3 days ago, the U.S. State Department said, we are evacuating all non-essential consulate personnel, all dependents of consulate personnel that are essential. Basically, we're getting out, except for core personnel. And that their advice to U.S. citizens was, don't go.
Right. You know, it's a big deal for government employees, but we were thinking about it in terms of past experiences that we've had.
Because we're not, most U.S. citizens and companies, because of Venezuela's political situation, have not really been.
Right. Like, what? Why does this matter to me that much,
right?
You know?
But we thought about this in the context of an experience we had been through that taught us a lot. And that was the situation in Egypt back in 2011, 2012, 2013.
Right.
And the Arab Spring, the bigger Arab Spring uprising that occurred across multiple countries that impacted what we were working on in a number of locations.
Right.
So we're going to kind of put Venezuela in the context of Egypt a few years ago.
Right. It's actually very similar to what was going on then as far as getting people and having the need to get people out of the country.
And not only that, but having a need to understand what was going on somewhere that a lot of people didn't understand what was happening and why your business is impacted by this. What I recall from this situation in Egypt was that the company that we were working for at the time had a small office there of like 18 to 24 people. And most of them were Egyptian citizens. And we had a handful of expatriates, none of which were American, that were working there from elsewhere in our international operation. And Egypt went from calm protesting to full-on state-on-citizen violence in like 48 hours.
Extremely dangerous.
We were monitoring and we were watching and we were like, this is pretty rough and people can't get to work and they're staying home to, holy crap, we got to get people out of there now.
Right. And to put it in context, we operated in a lot of different countries where it wasn't necessarily safe like it is the United States.
We had a large office in Pakistan.
Absolutely. So we've spent a lot of time monitoring these offices. And so when it escalated... And it continued to escalate. There was at some point we had to make a decision.
Right? First, in perspective on how quickly this moved. The following year after this happened, I was at a U.S. State Department meeting where the diplomatic security, regional security officer for Egypt talked about this uprising. And he lived off embassy property and had gone home for the day and spent the next 70 some days managing this crisis from his condo. Because he couldn't get back to the U.S. Embassy. It was not safe for him to travel despite all of the tools available to him as the head of diplomatic security in Egypt.
Yeah.
So even the State Department was caught off guard
by
how quickly this moved. I mean, it was really that was that fast.
Yeah. It's just almost like something you think you see in a movie that's not really real.
So to talk a little bit about what we experienced and then what are the lessons and solutions you can draw from this. We had a couple immediate issues. One decision was just really easy, and that was, look, it's not safe for our folks to travel from their homes to where the office is, so the office is closed. So that was an easy call.
Yep.
The second one was, well, the office is in actual physical danger, and we have assets in that office that are worth defending, so we're going to retain some security that can be trusted to protect the office to a point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that. Those were pretty easy decisions then the complicated problem started, which is as things escalated in Egypt, our employees became in physical danger.
Yep.
Not just the expatriates who lived in some different areas, but also our Egyptian citizen employees. The place that they were, where they were living, was not stable anymore. We had a spouse of an employee that was injured, mm-hmm. defending his home along with his neighbor. So we came to the decision that the expats should leave. And that's a whole complicated process of how do we get them out of there?
Very much.
And then there's the issue of, okay, what do we do with our citizen employees? And ultimately, we relocated them to, of all things, the Holiday Inn. But there was an Egyptian army armored unit that was basing at this hotel. So we knew that it wasn't going to get attacked. And it had a functioning ATM, which turned out to be important.
And Wi-Fi.
And they had Wi-Fi, so we could keep in touch with the team. But yeah. That was easily supported internally, and a move that we could make. It wasn't too difficult to pull off once the decision was made. Getting the expats out was extremely difficult because, unlike other situations, this had moved so quickly. Most of our usual security providers didn't have assets in country that would be able to support us. And we really had some trouble figuring out how to do that. We also had complications because we didn't know what visas the employees had to allow them to go to other countries.
And which countries they could go
where
to.
Where we could get them to. And we that wasn't something we were tracking with expats.
Right. And that's a quick process.
Quick process. Yeah, right. We had to get them on the phone and find out what was valid and what kind of visa type. And that was something that you want to track. If you have expatriates, if you've got travelers, you need to know what's in that passport so that if something happens, you can get them to the right place of safety. Big challenge in this case is we had some folks that required a visa to travel to the EU and didn't have an EU visa. And so we can only evacuate them to certain countries in the Middle East and only for air transit. And that was a big problem. So, but we ultimately figured that out, safely got them to the airport and got them into, in the Egypt situation, once you got in inside the airport, you were fine.
Yeah.
It was just getting to the airport that was a big problem.
Right.
And they were able to eventually get there.
So wouldn't it have been great if we had a plan ahead of time?
Yes.
For something like that.
Yes. And we did.
Yeah.
Later on. So that's another thing is, you know, where you see these things going south, you want to secure resources in advance.
Right.
Hopefully your resources are local or they're going to be there. Our resources that we usually dealt with never did get in country. Until much later in the situation. And then, of course, we didn't need them.
Right.
We definitely needed them in this case.
Yeah, so you got to have a plan. And then outside of the plan, it's how do we know when this is escalating? You know, it's the monitoring that comes into play.
So we've talked about the idea of a radar screen before, and this is applicable here, that we needed a way to know what was going on. And we had that. We had a very good – the crystal ball just failed us on – this happening and what that meant.
Right.
But we knew we had good situational awareness of what was happening. We had good on the ground intel sources. We were getting very good information out of the U.S. State Department's Overseas Security Advisory Council.
Yep. We were able to give that information to our leadership to help them to make decisions quickly. Right.
And we were coordinating with other Twin Cities companies that had a presence in Egypt and getting good information from them and vice versa about what they were seeing. And we certainly didn't have it as bad as some other Twin Cities companies did in this situation that were in some really rough spots.
Yeah.
With this.
With more people. We didn't have as many people as they did either.
Right. So it's very difficult when you have these situations where you're not as familiar, and we weren't. Egypt had really never arisen as an issue for us previously. But it is very difficult if you've never had to deal with this to understand just how quickly the pace of these situations evolves. And how difficult finding the right answer is in terms of getting people out of the country and such. There are some places you can go. Most companies use firms like International SOS or their travel security subsidiary. Global Guardian is another company that competes in the same space. There's
the State Control Department Risk Group. Puts out.
But there's free stuff.
Yeah.
The U.S. State Department's Overseas Security Advisory Council is a great source of detailed intelligence information. And when things happen, they make a point of being able of communicating more tactical details about what's going on.
That said, we kind of talked a little bit about how we hadn't had too much experience in that particular area. So it's understanding the global risk holistically, I think, is a big learning lesson for a lot of organizations in these situations. Understanding what could happen and why, and what triggers would make that happen. So, for instance, a new president in a certain area of the world gets elected.
And it was interesting in the Egypt case that things calmed down when the military overthrew the president. And in most cases, that's like a big trigger, like, oh my God, things are going to get bad. And in this case, everybody packed up and went home and said, okay, we're done because
we can't fight this.
Or it's that this is the institution that we trust and we're going to let this play out and we're going to stop protesting. We're going to stop the violence and we'll see what happens in terms of an election or there are other demands that go on. But we did, when you think about planning in the moment, it's good to start thinking about what are the things that could happen? What does that mean? And what action should we take in response to that? We knew that if the army overthrew the president, that this was a good thing and it would likely lead to calm and that we would probably de-escalate and from where we were, depending upon what other external factors were happening.
Right.
Whereas if the army didn't make that move and there was a crackdown on free speech, we knew that that was an escalation.
Yep.
So those were the triggers that we were thinking about to lead to further action.
Yeah. And in just like every other situation, we assigned one person that was in charge of managing all of this information. And then we had others that were in charge of managing all the other crises in the world.
Right.
So it wasn't just a siloed attention on that instance.
This is a good example of where having a robust crisis management framework, a decision-making process and a communication process is important because this is very unpredictable. We didn't think at the beginning of that year that we would be managing an office shutdown and a revolution in Egypt and disruption in other countries. So we didn't have a plan for that. So having that framework where you can push out information and you can bring your group together to make decisions was important.
Absolutely.
To wrap things up, when we have these large disruptions at a country level, like we're seeing in Venezuela, it's a great time to look at, do you have a plan, your crisis management framework, your process by which you make decisions? Do you have a radar screen? Do you have access to free or proprietary paid intel resources that can help you understand what this is going on and what this means and where this might lead? Mm-hmm. And are you ready for this kind of situation? Are you prepared to make the kind of decisions like closing an office and evacuating your expatriates and
understanding what travelers may be in the area.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, your most important goal as a business is to make sure that your team is safe and secure and taken care of. And that's what folks should be thinking about when it comes to Venezuela.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe to your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.